Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. Hear the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for Mary to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room, no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. This will be a sign for you. One morning this fall, on my way to the church office from our home in the Littlebrook section of Princeton, I came upon four detours because of road closures. It took me 40 minutes to get from our home to my office. The Cook Davis home is 3.3 miles from here. I must be the only one in the room who gets frustrated with random road closures in Princeton. The frustration was that there was never a sign that said, "Road closed ahead." Not just a police car blocking the intersection on the road where you're intending to go. "Road closed ahead" might have been helpful. When you find yourself traveling on an interstate, have you experienced those sometimes misleading blue signs that list all of the gas and the hotel and the food options at the next exit? You see a little icon on a sign for the gas you need or the food stop you would like. You exit a mile or two later, you drive slowly down the ramp, you come to the stop, and the more honest sign says, "Gas or food this way, 4 miles away." The better sign at a highway exit is the huge fast food or gas sign towering up in the air, with the destination right at the base of the sign. There is a refreshing clarity in that signage. "This will be a sign for you," the angel said to the shepherds. The angel of the Lord who stood before them with all that glory that terrified them, the angel was not the sign. The heavenly hosts of angels that appeared praising God and singing glory to God in the highest had to have been breathtaking. But the heavenly host was not the sign. The shepherds, though they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, had nothing to do with the sign. For that matter, neither did Mary and Joseph, postpartum, post-swaddling, post-lying the babe in the manger. This will be a sign for you, a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. The preacher in the book of Hebrews tells us that some of us have probably entertained angels unaware when showing hospitality to strangers. Most of us, however, have not come upon an angel with the glory of the Lord shining all around, but we've seen a baby. We haven't had a band of shepherds come and preach the good news of great joy for all people, but we've seen a baby. This will be a sign for you. Not a burning bush, not a cloud by day and pillar of fire at night, not a stormy sea brought to a dead calm, not a withered hand healed, not a few loaves and fishes to feed thousands, not a lame person walking, not tongues of fire falling from heaven and everyone hearing the gospel in their own language, not prison chains miraculously falling off of their own accord. This will be a sign for you. And it's a sign we've all seen. A sign we can all understand. A child swaddled and lying there in front of you. Generation after generation of students down the street at Princeton Theological Seminary have worked on their worship leadership skills in the required introduction to speech class. Those classes are currently taught by faculty very familiar around here at Nassau Church, Michael Brothers and Nancy Lammers Gross. And I'm absolutely certain that Michael and Nancy continue to carry the mantle when it comes to learning how to read Luke 2 properly before a congregation. It is the most common example used to teach a pastor, preacher, the importance of a pause and the purpose of a comma when it comes to oral interpretation. I can still hear the speech teacher in my intro class more than four decades ago after a student read like this. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. No, no, no. The three of them are not in the manger. So they went with haste. The teacher led by example. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. The manger is not overflowing, she said. But of course, it is overflowing. For that which is divine, the one born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord, is swaddled not just in bands of cloth, but swaddled in all that it means to be human. God and flesh, divine and human, God with us. Look for a sign. The manger is overflowing both with the presence of God and the flesh of our humanity. A child lying there in the manger, swaddled for warmth and security like a parent wraps every newborn before and ever since. Eyes yet to open, skin color yet to recover from the trauma of birth, and therein lies God. This so understandable and relatable sign of our humanity, this newborn baby bears in this tiny little flesh the awesome holiness and otherness of God. Amen. All of the mystery of the transcendent creator of all creation, now nurses at Mary's breast. It is the scandal of the incarnation. God in human flesh. The manger cradles the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It overflows with the very humanity of God. I was meeting a friend for coffee one morning last week. We met at the place we met before at the place where he works. Over a period of a few weeks, we kept running into each other all over town. We both took it as a sign that we should grab some coffee. He suggested meeting at Sacred Coffee at 9 o'clock in the morning. I said yes, knowing that it would be too crowded to find a place to sit. I suggested after we got our coffee that we go back to my church office a half a block away. And he said, how about we take a walk? And for the next hour, on a brisk but sunny Monday morning, we walked all over campus and up and down Nassau Street. And as we walked and sipped, we shared our life, our hopes and dreams. We complained about traffic in Princeton. And we both ran into people we know and introduced to each other. I introduced him to Len Scales a few blocks down on Nassau Street. And we said hi to John, the unhoused man who spends a lot of time in the seminary library and on a bench in front of the Nassau Christian Center. We both know John, and we wished him a Merry Christmas. We split up and both went back to work at 10. A random conversation all around town, meeting people with a soon-to-be 64-year-old man and a young man in his mid-40s just getting to know each other. I found it to be a God moment, even a holy one, a reminder to me of God's presence in the everyday earthiness of it all, far more out there than in here. Out there is where God still comes. This will be a sign for you. It's a simple sign, the child, the manger, and the fleshiness of it all. The earthiness, the smelliness, the prickliness of humanity's manger, still receiving the presence and the promise of God, God with us. Because it's here, not the here of this room, but the here of our lives, here in humanity's stable of heartbreak and grief and disappointment where God still comes. Here, when you and I are trying to keep our head above water with the flood of the news of the world and daily drenching downpour of humanity's sinfulness, God still comes. Both in joyful family gatherings and in family struggles. In the realities of college admissions or difficult job searches or increased job stress or dignity torn away by unemployment, God is still there and still comes. This week, as weddings are announced and new babies met for the first time and medical tests shared face to face and empty places at the table scream way too loudly, God is there too. Here, as parents seek wisdom in raising children and children seek wisdom in caring for aging parents, as young people search for courage in adulting or discerning what's next in school or life, here, as someone we love is treating for cancer or struggling for a peace of mind or a relationship now broken and over, God still comes. This will be a sign for you. A child lying in a manger, not a throne, not a cushy bed, not a bassinet crafted for royalty, a manger in a barn surrounded by animals and night air. Just as God rests in the rickety frame of our lives and all of creation stands ready to burst into song, for the manger overflows with the very humanity of God. And on nights like tonight, as the world groans with the suffering of God's people and the darkness of the powers and principalities seems to get ever darker and heavier, our hope for peace and goodwill again rests in the scandal of God's love. Amen. Out in the darkness, surrounded by nothing other than the fleshiness of our humanity in the night air and the world's chaos, God is still with us. God is still for us. God still comes. My favorite children's Christmas pageant story tells of the director deciding to mark the places for the angels and the shepherds on the floor. A circle for each angel and a cross for each shepherd. Unfortunately, there was no rehearsal in costume. And when the angels took their places during the pageant in their flowing robes and their halos, the angels covered up all the marks for the shepherds. The shepherds, driven by God knows what demonic impulse to indiscreet obedience, William Mule writes, began looking for their places. Angels were treated like angels had never been treated before. And at last, one little boy who had suffered all of such nonsense he could handle looked, turned toward the teacher in charge, and announced angrily, "These damned angels are fouling up the whole show. They've hidden all the crosses." Needless to say, the writer continues, his mother and I were greatly embarrassed. But then the theologian offered this reflection on the life of faith. "We are indeed damned angels," he wrote, "possessors of gifts and insights which we turn to works of destruction, victims of burdens and infirmities which become occasions for glory. The rich pageant of life is often fouled up by our rigid moralism, and the cross is hidden beneath the flimsy fabric of our piety. Our flesh drives and afflicts us from birth to death, but we have the gall to affirm that it once sheltered the Eternal One." Or said another way, we dare to believe and affirm and so live that the manger still overflows with the humanity of God. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you." Thanks be to God.